Today, we will read Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 30. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, open our eyes to see and hear and understand. Teach us. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 30. Now, the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard, and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." All right. In today's reading, we begin with Judas agreeing to betray Jesus. Now, Judas was one of the 12. He was one of those that was closest to Jesus. You would have expected him to be one of the ones that was faithful. But he was the one who betrayed Jesus. And so, this makes me think, and makes me remember, and makes me even cautious, that just because someone looks on the outside like they are faithful, like they are close to God, it doesn't always mean that. Judas somehow was far from God. He would not have been able to agree to betray Jesus like this if he had been close to God, if he had been a true follower of Jesus. Something was going on there that we don't really know. It's interesting that, unfortunately, the Bible doesn't make it very clear what motivated Judas to betray Jesus. It doesn't ever tell us that. All it tells us is that he did. Now, in a few other places, we do see that Judas was the one who held the money bag. He was a treasurer. And so it is possible that part of his betrayal had to do with money, that he was following Jesus not because he was a true believer, but because he thought that Jesus would be able to make him rich, or that Jesus would be the Messiah who then he could be close to and have a position of power and importance. Another possible reason is that he may have become disillusioned with who Jesus was and what he was doing. He may have been expecting a political leader, and when Jesus didn't become that, and when Jesus made it very clear he had no plan to become a political leader, Judas may have been disappointed and turned away. We don't know. We don't know exactly why, but we do know that he did. And so, I want to be careful not to deceive myself or others, or be deceived by others. Just because I spend time listening to God's Word does not necessarily mean that I am a close follower of Jesus. True followers of Jesus, true disciples, are those who hear and obey. And so, am I being obedient? Am I doing what God called me to do? Or am I just following Jesus for convenience? For something I think I might be able to get out of it? We must be careful and examine our own hearts, but also not to be led astray by others who seem to be following Jesus, but aren't really obeying what he teaches. Anyway, next we see the story of the Last Supper. And this is where Jesus goes and has the Passover meal with his disciples. Now, at the very beginning of the story, we see something interesting. We see insight into Jesus' power and knowledge, that here he is able to tell them exactly who they will see, what he will be doing, and where he's going to go. Jesus knew so much more than a normal man would be able to know, because Jesus is more than just a normal man. Jesus was God himself. But Jesus went to take the Passover with his disciples. And while he was there, he introduced something that we know today as the Lord's Supper. Christians today still observe and take the Lord's Supper. And that different churches do it in different ways. Some places do it every single week. Some people once a month. Some places once every 3 months. There's no set way that we're told to do it in the Bible. But we are told how to do it. And when we take the Lord's Supper, we do it in remembrance of Jesus, remembering what Jesus did for us, how he died for us, how he suffered and bled and died for us, to pay the punishment for our sins. And so there are two parts of the Lord's Supper. There is the bread. It represents his body. And his body was broken. He was beaten severely. He was beaten, whipped, mocked, made fun of. His body was broken for us, for our sins. Then there is the wine. Many places use grape juice as well, or instead. There is the wine. The wine represents his blood, that his blood poured out for us. And his blood is what washes us and cleanses us and covers our sins. The shedding of blood was a part of the Old Testament ceremonies and sacrifices that God had commanded. But all of them were a picture of what Jesus would do, that he would be beaten for our sins. He would be crucified. His blood would be shed for us, so that through him we can know God. And so today, we take the Lord's Supper, and we eat some bread, we drink the juice or the wine, and we think about the sacrifice that Jesus made, what he gave for us, so that we could know him. Now it's interesting. As he does this, we see a contrast between Jesus, the servant who is giving himself for his disciples, for us. Then we see the disciples talking about who is going to be greatest. And I think many times we also miss what Jesus is trying to teach us, because we're too busy trying to be great. But the disciples were arguing, am I going to be greatest? Is he the greatest? Who is the best disciple? And I think even today we kind of do this sometimes, that we try to see who is the most important, who is the greatest. We're always comparing ourselves to others. But Jesus says, no, you're looking at it all wrong. It's not about who is the most powerful, who has the most money. It is about who is a servant, who is the true follower of Jesus. And a true follower of Jesus is going to serve. He's going to give himself for others and care for them and love them as Jesus gave himself for us, as he cared for us and loved us and sacrificed his own life so that we could know him. Lord, I want to thank you for the gift that you gave that day. As you gave yourself for us, thank you. Thank you that through you, through your broken body and the blood that flowed out, we have hope. Through you, we have forgiveness of our sins and a hope for eternal life. I thank you for that and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.